Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Standout Job Seeker podcast presented by JobScan. I'm your host, Sydney Myers. And in this episode, I interviewed Chris Stambolidis, who is a former recruiter from Amazon. We talked about, I'm going to get into it. It's a really, really great conversation. But before you skip to the interview, because I do that too, I skip intros and podcasts. I don't even know why I do an intro for mine. But anyways, I have two really important things to tell you about. So listen to these two things. First, if you are listening to or watching this podcast before December 6th, 2024, we are running our Black Friday promotion and we're having a really great discount on JobScan Premium. So you can get a JobScan Premium for 12 months, the annual plan, for 50% off. So you can get the annual plan for $179. That's 50% off. To give you some context there, JobScan Premium typically costs $50 a month. So for the price of 3-4 months, you can get a full year of JobScan Premium. And with the way the job search is going and how long it's lasting, it's definitely a good deal. So if you want to get that 50% off of the annual plan, go to jobscan.co/promo/BF24. That's BF as in Black Friday. This isn't a discount code, so if you just go to JobScan and sign up, you're on the checkout page. There's no place to enter a promo code. We keep our promos really exclusive, so you have to use this special URL, jobscan.co/promo/BF24. I'll also put it in the show notes and in the description for this. So take advantage of that. That promotion ends December 6th, 2024. Second important thing, which is like not as important, but I had some technical difficulties with the video portion of this. So the last 5 minutes of the conversation, there's no video for Chris Stambolidis, the person who I interviewed. So it's just me on camera, but you can still hear him. Now, if you're listening to this, that's not a problem at all. You won't even notice a difference. But just FYI, I apologize for that. The video got a little bit corrupted. But it's still a really great conversation, so I encourage you to listen to the whole thing. Chris Stambolidis is an executive career coach and former recruiter from Amazon and a few other companies. And what we talked about was the executive job search. So that would be people like C-suite, VPs, directors, and so on. And that might not be you, but I still think this conversation is relevant to everyone, really, because what we really dug into within the executive job search is networking and how to do it and why it's so important. And I've done episodes on networking before. I did an interview with Kenneth Lang. Highly recommend listening to that one. But this one is a little different because you get to hear about it from the perspective of a recruiter. So like, how do you network with recruiters, or how do you build connections with recruiters? What does a recruiter look for? I think hearing that perspective is really important, and there's so much value in this conversation. So that's what we talked about. That's what you're going to get out of this interview. Let's get to it now with Chris Stambolidis. This is a great conversation. So let's get into it now. Thanks for listening. Okay, well, I am joined now by Chris Stambolidis. I got it right. Yay me. Chris, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Chris is a former recruiter from Amazon. He's now an executive career coach. So we're going to have so much insights to unpack. I'm sure we're going to talk about this topic of the executive job search and if it's different, why it's so different, how networking plays a part in there. Chris, welcome. I want to give you a chance to introduce yourself and kind of give the audience a little bit of information about who you are and the expertise that you bring to the table.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much for inviting me. By the way, I'm very excited. And just a little bit about me. I used to be an executive recruiter, and then later I also recruited for some time at Amazon and moved kind of into the executive headhunting. And then later on, or what I do now, is mainly focus on career coaching and pretty much resume writing, LinkedIn cover letter, and basically helping executives get hired. And I mainly focus on kind of the C-suite in financial services and tech and fintech. Those are kind of my areas of expertise. So that's what I kind of focus on right now.
Okay, great. Yeah. And I think that you'll have so much to share from being on both sides of it. So you've been a recruiter for executive roles, and then now you help job seekers getting executive roles. So you've been on both sides of the table. So I'm really curious to just like kind of pick your brain here. So I want to start just kind of like by setting the table. We're talking about the executive job search. What exactly would you define as the an executive role? Just so we know who we're talking to. If you're listening, is this for you? What roles qualify as executive?
I think it's really depends on the perception or the point of view that you have, and also like your other factors like location and where you're kind of based out of that plays a big role, or like even the industry that you're in. Just because somebody might be an executive that's in a, let's say making $100,000 a year type of position, but somebody else might say, well, you're actually just an executive if you're kind of in the 300,000-500,000 and above range. So I think like you can't really quantify it, but I think that in terms of like what an executive is, typically somebody that is not just doing kind of like technical tasks, but that really has more of like strategic oversight, that is maybe typically leading like a larger team of, let's say, at least like 10, 15 plus people. But yeah, so I think that there's a couple of different angles in terms of, how to identify an executive. I don't think that there's one right answer, but like, from my perspective, for example, the people that I would work with are typically, people that are at the vice president, senior vice president, or C-suite level and above, and typically kind of in the range of, let's say, $350,000 and above in terms of salary. But again, I think that for everyone, it's probably different how you'd identify it.
Okay. So this would be anything like, maybe not like manager, but probably at least like director, head, VP, like that.
Correct.
That kind of stuff.
Correct.
Okay, those roles.
And
okay.
Again, like depending even on like the company or like different companies, for example, a senior vice president or a head at, one bank might be, very much like a different level, or like what that means might be different at a different bank. So I think that there's like a lot of differences or nuances there as well, right? But yeah, Tim, you're right. Like definitely above the managerial level, I would say.
Okay. Good to know. So basically, this could be a wide range of people, depending on, I think like a good point you make is depending on the company, because different companies might have the same job title, but the role is totally different. So it's not always apples to apples. So, okay. So then now that we have that established, we kind of know who we're talking to here. What makes the executive job search different, or is it different? Like, do the same roles apply for when you're doing as like applying for a director or VP role? Do the same roles apply for the resume, interviewing, networking, or is it like totally different?
I think that I would say that it's totally different. And the main factor or the main reason for that is typically if you're at the executive level, what matters, or what's going to make the difference in terms of your job search is like, yes, it's important to have a good resume, LinkedIn cover letter, all of that stuff. But what's really going to make that big difference is like your network. Who are you connected with? How are you? And then also like, how are you approaching those types of conversations? And then also like the relationships that you've built throughout your career. Or even like if you haven't done that yet, like how are you building those relationships with like executive recruiters, headhunters, and like different decision makers? That's typically like how, at least the people that I will work with get hired, right? It's like having a good network or like creating that good network and approaching the search from like a strategic point versus, if you're someone that's maybe at a bit of more of a junior level, you'll typically just be applying for positions online. That's not how like an executive would find their job. Like you're not going to find like a CEO position or like a C-suite level position like online. And if they are, then they're just posted. But like that's typically even like recruiters will go out and search for the executive that they want to hire on LinkedIn, right? Versus, going through the applications that come in. So I think that's kind of like a huge difference, I would say, in terms of like the search. And obviously that's just one piece of it, right? But
yeah. Interesting. Okay. So you said relationships with recruiters. Now that surprised me because I was thinking this meant relationships with just other people, like colleagues or whatever, which might be included with it. But I didn't realize that, like, you should develop relationships with recruiters. Is that right?
100%. Like, and not just like a specific person, but like, even like the first thing that I will do if I'm working with someone on their resume, LinkedIn, all of that stuff, when that's done, we will pick out 30 to 40 different search firms. So like, whether that be like bigger ones like Korn Ferry or like smaller search firms that are hired by companies to hire executives, right? And we will actually go onto their websites and have a look into like, what are the openings that they're listing on their websites? Because those are often not listed on LinkedIn, because it's very expensive to post jobs on LinkedIn, but like a lot of these search firms, like, they don't need to do that, right? Even just by posting it directly on their website, they will have a ton of people that will be applying. Plus, they will actually be the ones that are searching for people or searching for jobs, right? So like, if you're an executive and you have all of your materials or your application materials in shape, the first thing that I would recommend is like, go into your industry, and like, obviously, like, location and all of that stuff matters as well, and find like at least 30 to 40 different recruiting or headhunting firms, go into their website and A, have a look into like, what are the openings that they're posting? And then B, like, very important is like, you'll have a section where you can actually submit your resume, so that if, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks from now, they have a job opening, like, the first thing that you will do as a recruiter is like to see, hey, who do we have on file that has submitted their resume, right? So that'd be like first thing that you want to do, so that all of these like search firms have you on file for like the case that they get hired to hire someone, right? And then like, even if like, a lot of times, you know, that's like a big thing that most executives like never had to deal with this before. But now like, you have to be the person that is like active. Like, they used to just get tapped on the shoulder and, you know, like, hey, here's your next position. Like, now it's more like the job seeker is the one that is kind of going in and being like proactive. Like, if you go into these search firms, you'll find, you know, contact buttons or like phone numbers of like recruiters. And, you know, I have, for example, the people that I work with, like, cold call the recruiters and just spark a conversation and say like, hey, I recently applied to, you know, position X that you have posted. I'm really interested. I'd love to find out more about the role. Would you be open to having a first conversation? Like, that's typically what like executives will have to do, you know, to land the role, right?
Okay. Interesting. So then, you wouldn't necessarily be applying for jobs like on Indeed or something, but you would go directly to a recruiting firm and kind of like apply for the job there, or at least like submit your resume for like to be in their database. Is that right?
I mean, yeah, that's part of it, right? A big part of it. Obviously, you're still going to go on LinkedIn and search for like positions, right? But like, even, you know, some of these recruiting firms or even some of these companies will post a job on LinkedIn, right? And say, hey, we're looking for a CFO, for example. Like, most people or most executives would just submit with like LinkedIn Easy Apply and hope that they get a call back. But like, what you need to actually do is, you know, press the company name, right? Go into their website. And then most of the times, for example, if it's a recruiting firm, you will find the person that's responsible for the job and like their phone or email and call them, right? Or reach out to them, okay, and say, hey, I just applied. I'm really interested. Like, that's typically like, you know, stuff that executives will have to do, because there's just, you know, not a lot of these types of roles that, you know, at that salary level that they can find. So it's really about like setting yourself apart from the competition. And obviously, like, I mean, at the junior level or like even mid level, people are struggling with that as well, but it's not like to an extent where you're like really active in terms of like building those relationships like that. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. You said that, so those recruiters at the firms, they will first like search their database to see who's already in there, and then they'll go, in addition to that, they'll try to source. So when they're searching, are they just searching for like, are they doing it by keyword, or like what are they looking for when they're going through those resumes?
Typically LinkedIn Recruiter is the tool that that recruiters will be using, right? So like, if I don't have a candidate that is a good fit or like a position on file, I will go into LinkedIn Recruiter, right? Which is the separate version of LinkedIn where you as the recruiter can basically see what does the market look like? Who's open to work, right? And you can basically say, hey, I'm looking for a chief operating officer, do like a search. And now everyone that is a chief operating officer or has that title will come up and you'll see like, okay, there's, you know, for example, 5.5 million people that are chief operating officers that are open to work. So what I'm going to do next is I'll start filtering out, you know, there's a section where you can start filtering out by skills, keywords, and like, you know, background details, which is the next step that you will do, right? Which is why like most executives, you know, don't really care about their LinkedIn, but it's so important because like, if you don't have, for example, your top five skills listed on your profile, or if you don't have like the keywords that match the jobs that you're targeting, you will not be popping up in the search if I, as the recruiter or headhunter, am searching for, you know, a chief operating officer with a background in X, Y, and Z, right? So I think that's typically like the step-by-step process. And, you know, again, like where most executives, like how they will get hired is not like you applying, but like somebody reaching out to you and saying like, hey, I have this opportunity. I saw your profile. I'm really interested in having a first conversation with you. Here's the job description. Are you open to have this first interview? Right. And like that's, you know, for example, for me, like 80% of my clients will get hired by somebody reaching out to them, you know, after like their LinkedIn and stuff is obviously optimized and saying like, hey, I have this job. Let's have an interview versus like them applying for a job, right? Like that likelihood at the executive level, if you just, you know, cold applying and like hearing something is so, you know, so small, right?
Okay. So then, yeah, I will say, I've been in the LinkedIn recruiter tool and it gets really granular. Like I've tested a lot of ATSs in terms of how they can search and filter candidates, but LinkedIn Recruiter is like a whole other level. There are so many fields that you can narrow down the candidate pool by. And so, yeah, having your LinkedIn profile like completely filled out and optimized is really important for that. So then like, should... like applying for the job still matters, right? Or is like, is that not even worth doing? Is it more about the networking part of it?
I mean, if you are somebody that's out there looking for a job and you see a job that is posted on LinkedIn or Indeed and it's a perfect fit and you want to apply, like, sure, yes, obviously you're going to be applying, but I would just say what matters like is what are you doing after that, right? Like, are you going into you know, LinkedIn and trying to find someone, you know, that is either within your network or somebody new? Are you trying to find their email address or like their phone number? And are you making that extra step of reaching out to them and trying to connect and, you know, to basically get your application in front of the right person? If you're cold applying, like that would be what you'd want to do to kind of like follow up and actually generate traction, right? But yes, obviously like at that level, like relationships and, you know, kind of how you go about networking, like that would typically be what matters the most, right?
Okay, so this is more like all the other stuff like goes without saying. Like, of course, you're going to have a great resume that's optimized, tailored. You're going to be applying for the job. Like, you're going to do all the normal job search stuff. But this is like the next level of what you need to do to get those kinds of roles. So then, so then digging into like networking and using LinkedIn, I guess you kind of answered a lot of it with like how they would actually connect with recruiters. Is there an element of using LinkedIn to just build a network, like build connections with other colleagues, like other executives, or are you saying it's more just reaching out to the recruiter directly?
Okay, totally. A great question. And like, this is where most people will kind of, you know, have a significant lag in their job search or like why it takes a long time. It's like most people start the process of like networking when it's too late, right? When you've been like laid off and like now you're on the market, and then they will start reaching out to peers or colleagues or like former colleagues saying like, hey, you know, I'd love to connect with you and I want to find out more about this job. Can you give me a referral? Can you help me or whatever? Like that's too late, right? And like the best way to like network is like if you're giving a favor, right? Or if you're helping someone when you're like employed or like when you're, you know, obviously like in a good position, you know, somebody, and if you're just networking with people, like without having an agenda or wanting something, that's where it's like effective, right? The least effective is like, oh, I've been laid off. Like, can you help me? You know, people will typically, you know, not be like in the mood, you know, for that type of conversation, right? But yes, obviously, if you're on them, if, you know, you've just been laid off and now you're searching and you're like, hey, how can I start my networking? Like the best way to start that process is, for example, on LinkedIn, right? If you go into, like, if you press that little icon on your profile and you go into like settings, and if you go into data privacy, you can actually then download a list of your entire LinkedIn network, like anyone that you're connected with. And you can filter it out by company name, position, you know, job title. And then you'll have like an Excel spreadsheet, basically, of everyone that you're connected to on LinkedIn, right? And then, like, you know, first step that I will always tell my clients is, okay, let's start filtering out by talent acquisition, recruiters, headhunters, right? And see, okay, how many people in your network are either recruiters or related to like talent acquisition or whatever. And let's start reaching out to those first, right? And say, hey, you know, I noticed that you're currently recruiting at company X. That's really interesting. You know, I've been wanting to find out more. Your background seems super interesting. Would you be open to having a quick 10 to 15 minute chat with me next week? Like, that's kind of step one, right? Step two, let's do that with like your peers, former colleagues, or like even people that you don't know, right? But that you're connected with, and start building that pipeline, right? But obviously, if you're somebody, you know, that's laid off or that isn't currently like working, like typically you will be like less attractive, right? In terms of like people actually wanting to talk to you. So like the conversion of that, like typically I will see like 20%, right? So let's say you're reached out to like 10 people, two or three might reply, but even that is already helpful, right? Like you only need that one conversation that leads to something. But yeah, that's typically how I'd start, you know, kind of the process of like networking, right?
Okay. On that note of like building these connections, say, so like the best time to do it is now before you're laid off. So the thing I always wonder is like, how does a person build genuine connections? Because a lot of times it's like, I get a connection request. I don't really know who that person is. And I'm like, oh, their work experience seems interesting. I connect. But then like, we never talk to each other. And then I see I'm connected and I'm like, I don't even know who. How could a person use LinkedIn to build genuine connections with someone they've like maybe never met in person?
I love that. And I think that, it goes or ties back into like doing it before you need something, right? And like, to give you an example, I recently had like a client and he got hired for like a sales director position, right? And he had done that like typical post of like, hey, I'm starting my new position, you know, at company X, you know. And then everyone starts congratulating him. And somebody had reached out to him personally by a message that was not actively looking for a job, but he had said, hey, you know, this sounds really cool. You know, I'd love to just chat with you and find out more about what that company is doing, right? And he was a sales manager. And so they had a first conversation. And over like the course of 3 or 4 months, you know, they just kept in touch and they connected, obviously, during that, you know, conversation on like what they're doing professionally, but also, you know, hey, what are some of your interests like outside of work or whatever? And they just connected, right? And so this guy who was the sales director was hired to actually build out their sales team. And, you know, at that point when they initially connected, he wasn't at that stage where he was hiring. But 3.5 months later, when he started, you know, to kind of build out that team, that person that had reached out to him to just like say, hey, congrats, right? Was the first person that he hired, right? And so like, I think that's, you know, like a great example of like, okay, you're reaching out A, to say congrats or like to, you know, ask something about that person rather than, hey, you know, can you help me? Or like, can you do something for me? Like that's typically how, you know, authentic conversations or like, you know, relationships are built, right? It's like you give something first and then you get something back, right? Rather than like the opposite way around. Like that's typically not, you know, how you'll get something out of it.
Yeah. So it's really, it's not about the number of connections you have. It's about the number of conversations you have. Like your goal should be to have conversations with people, not just like build up the number of connections.
Yeah, 100%. And I think like even how you act, again, like at the executive level, this might be slightly different, but like how you act like after the conversation, for example, matters a lot as well, right? So like to give you an example, like recently somebody had reached out to me and said like, hey, you know, I know that, you know, person X, I'm currently struggling with my resume. Can you help me? And, you know, I had given her some free tips and advice during like a quick call. And she had followed up with me after that and sent me like this gift that was like Greek olive oil, right? Because I'm Greek. She's like, hey, I'm going to send you this like small gift. You know, thank you so much for your help and all that stuff. And a couple of weeks later, one of my friends that was a recruiter was hiring for somebody with her background. And, you know, I had connected or made that connection, not because like, you know, she sent me that olive oil, right? But like, I, you know, had her in my mind because, you know, we had a great conversation and I really appreciated what she did. So obviously I wanted to reciprocate that. And she got hired for that position, right? Not because of the olive oil, but like, that's kind of like, I think how, you know, like people should be approaching like networking or building relationships. It's like, it should always be like mutually beneficial rather than, you know, I, and like, you know, I want this or me, right? So I think that's kind of like something that matters a lot when it comes down to networking.
Okay. So like, that made me think of a question, and I don't know, like, I hope this doesn't come off the right way, but in some way, I kind of feel like it's like manipulating, or like I'm not really holding a connection because I want to be friends. It's more just like, I'm going to want to use you in the future, so I'm just going to like butter you up for the next 6 months or something. I don't know. Is that like a really cynical way to look at it? Or is that just, that's just life. That's the way it is.
I mean, I think that there's some truth to what you're saying for sure. Right. I do think that at the end of the day, like there's a professional, I mean, if you're talking to someone in a professional network or in a professional conversation, I think that for a lot of executives, you know, obviously like to some extent you do think about, hey, maybe I might meet this person in the future. Right. But if that's like your sole intent, I think that's where like you'll not come off authentic and it won't work, right? But I do think that, yes, obviously like there's some truth to what you're saying. It's like the people that have, you know, the biggest or the largest network and that are very much like liked by a lot of people, like those would be typically the people that, you know, I work with that are like seven figures or like whatever salary ranges, right? Because there's just so many people that are advocating for them. So yeah, I do think that to some extent, there's some truth to what you're like, the way that you're seeing it. But I don't think that that's necessarily like the way that you have to view it, right? I think that, for example, I would go about networking in terms of like, hey, I want to help you. I just love to help you, right? And then if something happens or, you know, if something positive, you know, happens in the flip side, great, right? If not, like that's not the expectation that you should have though, right?
Okay.
So yeah, I think that you definitely have some truth to what you're saying.
Yeah, I guess like it probably is like a really cynical way to look at it. It's more just like you do want to build your network and build connections and have those relationships, right? but be genuine about it, that your intention is to see like who out there can you be like have a connection with, and maybe you help them. And then like, yeah, because you're friends with somebody, naturally in the future, they might be able to help you too. But as long as your intentions are good, it'll come off in the right way. Because honestly, yeah, I guess if like people can probably sense if you're only connecting so that you can use them, in which case probably it wouldn't work anyways. So right. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah,
and no, it is true, like the saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. So I've seen that play out so many times. So that's probably like it plays into this too.
Totally, 100%. And I mean, think about that, even like, especially if you go into like, for example, financial services is like really hardcore about this, right? It is literally like, who do you know? Like that will determine like your, not like determine your career, but like it plays a huge role in what are the types of jobs that you get hired for, right? Or like who reaches out to you about like, hey, you know, by the way, I'm currently like, I have this opening, you know, you would be great fit. Are you interested? So, and like, obviously that stuff translates into like, you know, a lot of other aspects of your life, right? But like, not to just be, you know, too focused on like the money, right? But like, if you think about it, like I had an example recently of somebody that was an executive director at Wells Fargo, and somebody that he had, you know, a great relationship that was like a former manager of his that moved into a different bank, reached out to him about a position that he ultimately got that was like a $200,000 raise, right? And so, and again, I'm not saying that's just because like he's great at networking, but like, I think that people often underestimate like the power of just like having a fantastic network and like being liked by others. And obviously like being very good at your job, right? Like that is a good or big factor. Okay. Like, how are you while you're working? Like that matters a lot, obviously, as well. But I think that there's just so many people that are fantastic at their job, but that are not like moving up, right? Because they're just not good at like the social or like the relationship aspect of it, right? I do think it's very important, right?
Okay. Yeah, that was, so actually my next question was going to be, do qualifications even matter? Like when you were a recruiter, you know, like looking for those roles, was it like just relationships or do the qualifications even matter? It sounds like they do, but I mean, like, what is it that right. you were looking for whenever you were sourcing or looking at candidates?
Right. I think great question. And I think that there's like two different aspects of like recruiting. One of them is like the one that I had just mentioned of like, you know, relationships and the hiring manager reaching out to, you know, his contacts or whatever. And those are the people that get hired. But then the second aspect is like, as you mentioned, like, hey, we don't have anyone, you know, now we need to have a recruiter that is actively searching or like sourcing for candidates and, yeah. you know, reaching out to them. Like there, yes, absolutely. Like qualifications matter. And then like the biggest thing that matters is like your brand, right? Like if I am searching on LinkedIn, like we discussed earlier, right? Can I actually find you? And then B, like if I pop onto your profile, what does that look like to me, right? Can I understand that your background is X, Y, and Z, and that like here's your accomplishments and that you'd be a good fit for this position, right? Because I can tell you right now, if I were to go into LinkedIn Recruiter and if I just search like managing director, there's probably like 25 million people that are open to work, right? Who are like managing directors. So like, how am I going to filter out the people that are relevant by like looking into the keyword skills and like the things that I'm kind of hiring for? So that's why I think, like, yes, definitely like qualifications matter, but then also okay. like how you sell those qualifications matters a lot, whether that be on your LinkedIn and resume.
Okay. Okay. So it kind of like going back to what you were saying earlier is like all the normal job search stuff still applies, but that's like table yeah. stakes. Like,
yeah,
of course you're going to be qualified and have all the skills, but again, this is just like taking it a step further. Okay.
Yeah.
So then, man, I do want to dig more into that, although I'm not exactly sure what the question would be, but I just want to like pick your brain. Like when you're in the LinkedIn recruiter and you talked about like searching and filtering, like what are you filtering by? Skills, or like does the open to work badge matter? Does job title match matter? Like what are those some of the little intricacies of that search?
Okay, got it. Super cool question. And like to give you an example, the first thing that most recruiters will do is like search by job title. So like let's just say I'm looking for a chief financial officer, right? I will search by chief financial officer and then I will mark, you know, present, right? So like I want to have someone that is presently or currently a chief financial officer, right? That's like mistake number one that a lot of job seekers will do is like they were laid off, right? Let's say you know, now we're in October and let's say you were laid off in July. And now I'm saying like, hey, my latest position was, you know, chief financial officer, but I finished in July, right, of 2024. If I'm searching on LinkedIn Recruiter for like people that are currently chief financial officers, you will not show up for me in that search, wow. right? Okay. So like, that's why like anyone that I revamp their profile, even if they're not actively working, I will have their most recent position marked as present so that if, you know, somebody searches for them, like they find them. And then, you know, if somebody says, oh, I noticed that you're actually haven't been in that position since July on your resume, but your LinkedIn says present. Like you can always say like, you know, I don't really use social media too much. I must have not updated yet or whatever, but like you want to be showing up in the searches, right? So that's like one thing. And then the other thing is like definitely like keywords and skills, you know, would matter. So for example, I might look for someone that has a lot of people management experience, right? That might be like a keyword. Or I might look for someone that has, you know, like for example, again, like tying it back to like, you know, the finance positions, like private equity background, right? Or, you know, venture capital or like whatever kind of like the industry specific like terms are for that particular search. Those are the ones that you'd want to like ensure that you have them in your profile, right? And like the easiest thing if you're somebody that, you know, either doesn't have the budget or like doesn't want to like pay someone to like do the resume, LinkedIn cover letter, or the branding stuff, you can, you know, also kind of get a first glimpse of that by doing it yourself, right? If you were to just copy paste like 10 job descriptions from like postings that you've applied to or that you're interested in, and just paste those into ChatGPT, for example, or like any AI tool, and say like, hey, these are jobs I'm interested in. What are the 10 to 20 common keywords and skills that you see inside these jobs? It'll give you basically a good idea, or like a very first idea, on like what you should potentially be including in your profile, right? Obviously, like you'd want to like tailor that for the recruiter searches, but it's better than nothing, right? So yeah, those are things that definitely, I think, matter a lot in terms of branding.
Okay. That's good to hear. JobScan actually has a LinkedIn optimization tool that does that. So
okay, there you go.
shout out for that too. Okay, so that's all really interesting. One thing I thought of with the skills is that, like, when you say like having on your profile, there's like the skills section within each work experience, like within each job you can list. So is it that shows up in the search, or is it just anywhere in like your summary headline? Like, where should those skills be?
So like there's two sections that exist in LinkedIn Recruiter. One of them is keywords and the other one is skills, right? Skills are like the top five skills that you can list like below your about section. Like you can embed those into your profile. That's one thing. And then obviously like also the skills that you list under each experience. And then keywords would be the ones that you've listed like in your headline, right? And then also like within your profile.
Okay, cool. Okay, so then couple of other things. Do recommendations matter? Like the number of recommendations, like does that excite you as a recruiter?
I love that question. And I think that like as so many other things, like it's in recruiting, it's like very much so like an opinion based, you know, kind of like thing. Like personally, like I couldn't have cared less when I was a recruiter about like somebody recommending you. Right.
Nice.
Just because, if I'm going through like 50 or 100 resumes a day, like trust me, I'm not spending the time to like scroll to the bottom of your profile and analyze like who's recommended you, right? But I mean, there's other people that might say, oh, you know, I think that's cool or whatever. But like ultimately, I think that what's going to matter the most, like, or I wouldn't like invest too much energy in that. I would rather invest it in like networking and like building relationships and like reaching out for referrals. Like referrals is, for example, a different thing, right? Like that definitely has an impact. If like you have somebody that's working at company X and you're applying there, you ought to ask for a referral, but then not just ask for a referral, but like that's where like most people will stop. It's like to ask, hey, would you also be open to introducing me to the hiring manager or the recruiter that's hiring for this job via an email thread, for example, and like that stuff that has an impact, right? But I don't necessarily think that like LinkedIn recommendations are going to be like a big deal for anyone other than if you're like a service provider, like for example, me as in like a coach or like resume writer, a lot of people will have a look into the recommendations. Right.
Okay. And then do number of connections matter when you're looking at a profile?
Oh no, I don't think that matters at all. I mean, the only thing there's no reason why that would matter. The only way that, or the reason why that matters is it makes it easier for you. Like obviously the bigger your network, the more people you can reach out to or whatever. But I guess like the only way that would matter is like if you don't have a profile picture, you don't have anything on your profile and you have like zero connections. You know, obviously I can't see anything, right? But I don't think the number of connections has an impact on the recruiting process at all.
Okay. So earlier you kind of mentioned like you briefly touched on a step-by-step process for the executive job search. This is probably like a lot of what you do with clients when you're helping them to get an executive job. Can you break down again like what that step-by-step framework of an executive job search is?
Right. I definitely can. I think that again it depends on like who you are and like what stage of your career you are in. But I think that the biggest difference, like for executives then like compared to like others, is that most others will typically, you know, be in the stage of like, oh, I lost my job or I've been laid off. I need to find a job ASAP, right? Versus like executives, most of the time, you know, they have the financial cushion and like they have the experience where they're like, hey, I want to find my next big job and I want to make sure that it's the right one and the right company and the right environment. So like they get to be like more selective, I guess. And like part of that is like obviously like the financial aspect of like, oh, I don't have, you know, yes, I have bills to pay, but like I have the money for it. But the other thing is also like I've been in business for so many years. I'm not going to work for someone or somewhere that, you know, isn't going to be like what I love, right? So I think okay. The first step in executive search is always figuring out what is that next step, right? What do you want to do? What are some of the 20, 30 companies that you're interested in? What are the 2-3 job titles that we'll be targeting? And once you have that clarity, now we're, you know, drafting your resume, LinkedIn cover letter, right? And seeing like, how does that, you know, and tying that all in into like jobs that you're targeting, right? Once you have the brand and the resume, all of the materials ready, next step would be, okay, now we're starting with networking, right? With like the people that we mentioned in terms of like going through your network, right? Whether that be with that Excel or like if you have, you know, something written mm-hmm. down manually or like even connecting with new people. And then, you know, third step is, okay, now we're simultaneously submitting to those 30, 40 different search firms so that everyone has your file, right? And then after that happens, then you're slowly but surely like applying for positions, generating traction, networking, obviously simultaneously asking for referrals and stuff, and then preparing for interviews, you know, making sure that your pitch, right? So like, tell me about yourself. Why do you want to join this company? What's your salary expectations? That those questions like are really, really good so that you're selling yourself effectively. And then last stage, you know, is ultimately like salary negotiation stage where, again, I think that's something that is a huge difference in like the executive search versus like a regular search is that, mm-hmm. I mean, there's not so much room for like negotiation if you're going for like, you know, a junior analyst or like an analyst or like whatever kind of like, you know, 60 to 100K position, right? There's not so much mm-hmm. room versus like if you're someone that's at the executive level, like I have, for example, seen, you know, some of my clients push like, you know, they were in a 500K position. They got a new offer that was like at 600 and then it was like, you know, with bonus or like RSUs pushed to like 650 or 700, right? And that's like a big difference, obviously, right? Yeah. And like the way that you approach that, you know, process of like negotiating your offer as well is, you know, is a big difference, right? So yeah, that's, I guess, the step-by-step, but okay. Obviously it'll depend on like every person, right?
Yeah. I would love to be able to be in a room negotiating for going from 600 to 650. I just, that would be so great. Yeah. Okay. So that was a lot. I think a lot of it like kind of is like the pieces that we had talked about. Basically it's like, it's a whole other world. It requires a lot of like going above and beyond kind of thing. How long does that process usually take when you're going for an executive role?
Oh, that's a great question. And the reason why I love that question actually is that most people that kind of like do what I do, like the resume writing mm-hmm. or coaching, will like have that brand of like, oh, we're going to get you hired in like 30 days. We're going to get you hired in like 60 days or whatever. And like whenever I see that, I know instantly like this person has zero experience in recruiting and it's just like a marketing thing, right? Because like typically the executive search will like on average, like anyone that I'll work with, like 4 to 6 months, right? Because like it takes time to like generate traction, you know, it takes more time, and B, like it takes time to find the right opportunities. And then even once you start generating traction, like on average, there will be like, unfortunately, like 5 to 7 rounds of interviews, right? And that takes time as well, right? So like sometimes from that first touch point you have with the recruiter until you get like an offer, like that typically sometimes will take like 2 months, right? So, you know, if you're someone that's like out there looking for someone to like revamp your resume and stuff, if they're telling you you're going to get hired within like 30, 60 days, don't believe it. It's BS.
Okay. Okay, I will keep that in mind. And also, I think that influence, like when people ask how long is the average job search, it's so hard to say because it's like, well, what it depends on the role that you're applying for. Like if you're going for entry level or maybe like going into leadership, that's a certain window. If you're going for an executive role, it could take like 6 months or something. So There's just there's a lot of variables, it seems like.
Totally. And even like the position or like what you're doing matters a lot as well, right? For example, the worst positions right now of like people that I'm coaching that, you know, I kind of have seen over the past 2 years, like chief revenue officers, for example, or like sales, kind of sales people that are sales leaders, right? Like those types of roles right now are being like eliminated because I'm like, that's just how the market is. And like, I've, you know, seen people that are like on the market for, you know, 1 year, 2 years, even, because it's mm-hmm. just so hard to find like a position that wow. at that level, you know, for these types of people. And then you have like chief, you know, CFOs or COOs, for example, that are getting hired like super easy right now, if you're doing it right, right? Like 3-4 months, right? So, yeah, totally. You know, the market matters a lot as well. And obviously it's not a great market right now.
Okay. Okay. Well, this was great. I can't believe it's already been almost 45 minutes. That flew by. There was just so much information there. So thank you for sharing your insights. Again, please share where people can find you, connect with you, or work with you.
Appreciate it. No, it was great to connect. And I'm so glad that we did this, by the way, as well. And I think that hopefully it'll be of value to anyone that's listening. Yeah. And for anyone obviously that wants to connect, you know, my website is csgexecutivecoaching.com, and I look forward to chatting with you.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for being on.